On Wednesday, the Queen will become the longest reigning monarch in British history, beating Queen Victoria's reign of 63 years and 7 months. We can compare their lives and reigns now with Robert Hardman, columnist for the Daily Mail and author of Our Queen, who will be batting for Queen Elizabeth. Hello, Robert Hardman.
Good morning.
And for Queen Victoria is Jane Ridley, author of Queen Victoria, A Short Life, part of the Penguin Monarchs series. Hello, Jane Ridley.
Good morning.
Over to you first, Robert Hardman. Why does Elizabeth beat Victoria?
Well, I think it's important to say from the very outset, the one person who doesn't remotely regard this as any sort of competition is Queen Elizabeth herself. She just doesn't get competitive with the ancestors. But inevitably, a landmark like this does invite comparisons, and already there have been some, and there have been some one or two quite outspoken historians saying, well, actually, you know, Victoria was a more titanic figure. I would simply say that our Queen at the moment stands as the most respected figure on the planet, certainly the most famous woman in the world. She has presided over extraordinary change, very difficult change at times. Let's not forget that Queen Victoria reigned largely on an upward trajectory of British glory. Our Queen has had to reign through some very difficult periods and has done so, allowing us to keep our heads held high.
We hear you coming out as a monarchist, and yes, many listeners share that view. But just because this is a comparison, if you're a monarchist, you love Victoria's history and you love Elizabeth too. But why do you prefer Elizabeth? Why are you a modern Elizabethan?
Well, as we are, as this is sort of a kind of X factor, a Q factor, if you like, I'll give Queen Elizabeth a resounding yes, because the sense of duty, the change that she's had to deal with, and the way in which she's handled it.
Okay, let's just get the item moving along with Jane Ridley. Speak up for Victoria. Why would you say she deserves the better Queen rating, as Robert's called it, the Q factor?
Well, I would say that Victoria, when she comes to the throne, the monarchy is at a very low ebb. It's incredibly unpopular, and she basically turns it round. I mean, she had all sorts of reforms introduced at the beginning of her reign, which make the monarchy much more in tune with Victorian England. She gives her name to an era, the Victorian age. She also presides over the really important change, which is the shift from hard power to soft power, which is absolutely critical. And she does that in a very sort of, you know, there's no attempt to sort of prevent it. She goes along with it, and that enables monarchies to survive.
So we talk about the Victorians now. We know what that phrase means. We don't really know what modern Elizabethan Britain is going to encompass. A time of change is the best we could come up with, a time of decline of empire. But Victoria was growth of the empire, growth of the economy, and a whole way of doing things.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, you know, Victoria was not responsible for any personally for those changes, but she did identify the monarchy, particularly with the emperor.
And what about comparisons? Victoria didn't like the job always. She described it as dismal, I'm reading in the papers today. She scarcely came out for years after she was widowed. Do you think she's a distant person? And do you think, Robert Hardman, that the Queen is a modern person?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think they are very different characters. I mean, I think that's crucial. Yes, they were young women who have become very immense symbolic figures to their age, supported by an extremely strong consort. And I would say that in all this, when we do mark this moment on Wednesday, I think we should all doff our hats to the Duke of Edinburgh for the part he's played in all this. And, of course, Victoria was deprived of her great love for much of her life.
Reading the mind of our listener, Bridget Avery, who's just emailed, when you mention the Queen's long reign, please also mention Prince Philip. So you've done that. But have you answered the question for me whether Victoria could have survived in the way, in the modern spotlight, in the way that Elizabeth has?
I'm not sure she could have done. She withdrew when confronted with anything disagreeable. Her default response was to say no and shut the door. Whereas the Queen has reigned on through. She's had to do all sorts of disagreeable things. Had some monsters to come and stay with her at Buckingham Palace because her government's asked her to. She's had, you know, all sorts of difficult situations. And in those situations, her response has been to, you know, get on with it. And that wasn't the Victorian way.
Well, I would say that in defence of Queen Victoria, she lived in a much more male-dominated world, and that she even felt uncomfortable about being a female sovereign, you know, a woman in the public sphere. And remember also that all these Victorian politicians, the Gladstone, Disraeli, Salisbury, they were men of huge calibre and intellect. And here she is, a hardly educated woman, 4'11", very small, surrounded by these sort of political titans. And yet she is able to sort of keep level with them. And I would also say that, she has a much harder job, really, in squaring her sort of private role as a woman and her public role as queen. She felt really conflicted about this. And, of course, she did retreat for years into seclusion and mourning. But we have to remember, throughout that period, she was writing letters, she was seeing the politicians. She wouldn't appear in public, it's true, but she had absolutely no intention of giving her power away.
And she became one of the best-selling authors of the century with her book on life in the Highlands, I learnt this morning. But they also, you can't move every month, it seems, without an auction house flogging her knickers. There's something about Queen Victoria, they're always selling off a pair of her old bloomers. Do you think there's a sort of latent sexism still about Victoria in a way that there's not about Queen Elizabeth?
Yes, I think there is. But I think it's also, the interesting thing about her knickers is how big her waist was. There's also a great deal of sort of unkind comment about poor Victoria putting on rather a lot of weight in later life.
There is a lot of that. Also about Edward VII, you read that about him, hardly able to get on a horse. But finally to you, I think we'll have to ask you, Robert, to address the moment that the Queen dropped the ball, even by standards of people like you who say she's steadfast. And that was the moment, wasn't it, at Diana's death, when she was basically summoned back to the palace. Is there another way to read that than the way I've just summed it up?
I think you saw two sides of a very great monarch that week. One was a very compassionate side, looking after her grandchildren, forming a kind of protective cocoon around them. But then when the moment required it, coming back to a pretty febrile atmosphere in a pretty hysterical capital, and with a click of the fingers, with that extremely deft broadcast to the nation, totally transformed the atmosphere.
Thank you both very much indeed. Robert Hardman, columnist for the Daily Mail, and Jane Ridley, author of Queen Victoria's Short Life. Who you did hear say the interesting thing about her knickers. That was something you heard if you thought you were asleep. Thank you both very much indeed.